We saw some amazing Australian performances at the Tokyo Olympics a few weeks ago, and fortunately we've been lucky enough to see some of those athletes performing on the northwest coast during the Christmas Carnival series in the lead up to Tokyo, and this year's series should be pretty good as well, with a lot of those athletes hopefully coming back for another run. To tell us a bit more about it, the promoter of the coastal of the Christmas Carnival series is Richard Welsh, who joins you now. Good morning, Richard.
Good to be with you again, Martin.
Yeah, it is.
Still riding a high from Tokyo.
I reckon,
to get ready for the Paralympics.
Well, it's great to actually watch the the Olympics and go, oh, I remember seeing that bloke ride in Devonport, or Stewie, of course, running at both Devonport, Stewie McSwain running Devonport and Burnie. I mean, it was an amazing result for Australia, and you know, the Carnival series has played a big part in the preparation for many of those athletes.
It certainly has. I mean, none greater than, well, you mentioned Stewie McSwain, of course, but also young Ash Maloney. You might remember him. He won the Burnie Gift 2 years ago, and now all of a sudden he's an Olympic bronze medalist in the decathlon. And, you know, Hannah Bassage, she'd never done a TV interview before she won the 100 yards at Penguin last season, and then she comes out and becomes the Australian champion and runs at the 100 metres at the Olympic Games. So there's some really good stories that have come out of athletes that have, you know, sort of taken that next step at the carnivals. And I'm by no means comparing the carnivals to the Olympics, but it does create a different type of pressure and a different type of following and media and nervousness around the carnivals than these athletes would get at a standard interclub or state or national championship. And, you know, for them to have that experience with us in Tasmania, and then for us as fans of sport to go and watch them compete on the biggest stage of the world is truly pleasing.
And you get to ride the highs and lows. You feel like you know them. Well, I do, have interviewed many of them, and you know them personally as well. And you feel for people like Genevieve Gregson, of course, who tore her Achilles. I mean, that was tragic for her, and I really felt bad for her.
Oh, look, and we focus largely on the performances when people do so well. But yeah, spot on there. I mean, you know, she's sitting there in hotel quarantine with a leg in a moon boot, unable to move, and anyone who follows her on social media, she's doing her best to entertain herself. And, you know, that was heartbreaking with less than 200 metres to go in an Olympic final, and her Achilles ruptures. And, you know, she would have been running over 100 kilometres a week for the last 10 years of her life, and she only had 150 metres to go and her leg gave way. So that's just heartbreaking
it
for
is.
Her. But For every unfortunate story, there's, of course, a huge success story. And, there were so many of them that we were able to follow the joy of. And hopefully that continues for many a year to come.
Yeah, we won't be seeing her at the carnivals for a little while yet, I wouldn't imagine. But obviously this year's series coming up, it's very important. On an Olympic year, you probably wouldn't think too much about it. The following year is going to be a bit quiet, but because the Olympics has been delayed by a year, next year we have the Commonwealth Games. So, you know, the Coastal Carnival Series or the Christmas Carnival Series takes on perhaps a little bit more importance than it normally would on an off year.
Look, and it is quite a different year than we've ever had before. Our athletes are going to have more troubles going overseas, both the cyclists and the runners, and also the wood choppers. So, and conversely, we'll be having troubles getting people from overseas. So we'll find that most of Australia's best athletes will want to compete in the carnivals because they can't go anywhere else in the world that time of year. So we've already fielded a number of lines of inquiries from people wanting to come and run, ride and chop at the series this year. And also the Australian Athletics Championships are significantly earlier than usual because we've got back-to-back championships in the middle of 2022. So you've got the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham and then you've got the World Championships in Oregon. So they're back-to-back pretty much. So a lot of them will want to do both of them. So as a result, Athletics Australia has brought their national championships forward, which is a good thing for the carnivals. It means that our athletes who have gone to Tokyo, they'd be having their break right now, most of them, except for a handful that played on to Europe and the US doing a couple more of the Diamond League meets and some others. So it's a good thing that the athletes will be pre-rested, they'll have gone into pre-training and they'll be coming out looking to race around Christmas time when often they're not wanting to put the spikes on or dig out the fast bike or the sharper axe just yet.
I know you plan for the best case scenario, but as we saw last year, things can go pear-shaped fairly quickly. Do you have a contingency plan in place if border lockdowns become a factor?
Look, The best thing that we can do is to encourage as many of our top flight Tasmanian runners, riders and choppers. And we've got plenty of them here. You know, we had a number of athletes go to the Olympics from Tasmania. So we want to and we need our best athletes competing here, which will bring out the best in the athletes who are at that next level. There is talk, and we're in deep talks with Oz Cycling, formerly Cycling Australia now, about training camps and coming down. So while we can't do a bubble for road cyclists, for example, that need to go out and ride, you know, 100k a day, we're in talks with them about what we can do to facilitate a camp environment and move them around from carnival to carnival. So, look, as you alluded to, Martin, we can't predict anything. Mm. You can just manage what you're throwing, and we did a pretty good job last year without having any of the internationals at all. We closed our borders to New Zealand at the moment just for a couple of weeks, but we are really hopeful that those will be free moving economy by the time December and January comes around, and we can at least have our Trans-Tasman mates come out here as well. We're certainly in our plan.
I guess at some point you have to announce dates for the coming series, and I know last year we had new carnivals at Georgetown and Penguin. Can you tell us much about what sort of format the series might take this year, or is it too early?
It'll be more of a traditional environment. We had to put on those Georgetown and Penguin carnivals last year because our original carnivals of Devonport and Latrobe had decided not to go ahead. Now, they've given us every indication that they are going to go ahead this year, so we don't anticipate putting any standby events on, so to speak, or one-offs. I think we won't be going back to Georgetown, we won't be going back to Penguin in like we did last year. We'll be doing our more traditional carnivals, and we are days away from announcing the dates for the upcoming season.
I'll look forward to hearing those, Richard, but thanks for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again as the season gets closer.
Sounds great. Anytime, Martin. Thank you.